Not too long ago, I had a guest here on Issues and Ideas who had created the instructions on how to use a 3D printer to build your own gun. And quite frankly, that was not a good move on my part. I was looking at that concept only from the tech side. It was only actually during the conversation where I realized that this does become an open source for people who want to do some pretty bad things. Recently, New Jersey created a law which prohibits the publication or distribution of information relating to 3D printing of guns or firearm components, among other new laws. Our first guest today sees this as an attack not on the Second, but on the First Amendment. Here from the Second Amendment Foundation, we say good morning to Dave Workman. How are you today, Dave?
Well, I'm okay. It's cold out here in the Pacific Northwest where I'm talking to you from, so I guess we have something in common here.
Yes, we do. And as they say in New Jersey, if you don't like the weather, wait a second. Apparently, it's going to be coming true for the Seattle region now.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you the website for Second Amendment Foundation. It can be found at saf.org. And just a real quick review of the four elements of it. Was in the State Senate S-2465, if you want to look it up at the State House website. Purchasing the parts to make a ghost gun or a gun without a serial number that can be assembled using parts bought individually or as part of a kit, often via the net. Making a 3D printable gun or distributing the designs for one. Manufacturing, selling, or possessing a covert firearm that's disguised to resemble keychains, smartphones, cigarette lighter, something like that. Manufacturing, selling, or possessing an undetectable firearm, which is made of material not recognized by a metal detector. They're all punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So as far as these elements of S-2465, which Governor Murphy signed into law, Dave, what is the concerns that the Second Amendment Foundation has with them?
Well, this is a First Amendment case. It always has been. And this really doesn't have to do with guns so much as being able to publish information and make it available, and we see that as being different than just actually telling people how to go out and build a gun, because that's not what anybody's doing. We're publishing information, and honestly, that the information that this lawsuit is about is probably already out there. I get emails every once in a while from people who talk about it, and I see it on social media. And the legislation was adopted, I think, almost primarily to go after an outfit called Defense Distributed. But this is it's a broader issue. You know, when you start dealing with cases that have to do with speech, that's something to be concerned about. That is way beyond any Second Amendment issue that we're talking about, because now it does become a First Amendment issue.
Well, it gets back to the old axiom of yelling fire in the movie theater. There's irresponsible speech as well. The individual who I had been speaking with flat out said here on the show that it's not their job to check on who I'm giving this information to. And when that information can result in what its potential holds, then, you know, I guess the question becomes, why not treat the information about an item the same way you would treat the finished product that the information is going to allow you to create? In other words, checks, balances, making sure that you are who you are, and there's some element of legitimacy about the person who is asking for that information.
Well, I don't know where you would draw the line there. And, you know, in the past, the Supreme Court has drawn some interesting lines on what you can and can't protect with the First Amendment. That goes to a higher pay grade than I'm in. But I'm pretty zealous about protecting free speech and freedom of the press, too, because I think when you're talking about publishing information online, that falls well within the guidelines of the First Amendment. And I'm a journalist by trade, and that's how I've made my living for close to 50 years. And that's the way we're looking at the case. This is about speech. I think, you know, you can maybe draw some parallels parallels between what gun control advocates have been trying to do with the Second Amendment and what they're now trying to do with publication of stuff that they don't like. I'm not sure where you want to draw a boundary there. You could find information on all kinds of stuff on the internet these days.
Oh, sure, but if it's posted on Facebook or Twitter, for example, then those organizations, well, later versus sooner, one of the faults of Facebook, will take it down. And just for the sake of edification here, I'm pro-gun. I'm certainly pro-First Amendment. And I think New Jersey personally over-regulates guns. But in this instance, again, there's that gray area where it's a lack of responsibility by the supplier, I guess, would be the mechanical way to approach this.
Well, you know, we are talking about a gray area. And I think that's probably ample reason to be in court over this. It should be up to the court to determine, where a line can be drawn. But, you know, I remember, I think there was a famous statement by a Supreme Court judge regarding pornography. He says, I can't describe it, but I sure know what it is.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on how far you want to go, and that's why I think it's a good reason for this case to actually be in court, because at some point you have to have a definitive ruling on what is protected by the First Amendment and what may not be. The lawsuit contends that, the information that we're trying, to discuss here, we think it's protected by the First Amendment. We'll see how this shakes out in court.
Wrapping up our time with Dave Workman from the Second Amendment Foundation. Their website is saf.org, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Just sounds to some devil's advocate here, as opposed to a loophole in a crime law is existing until a crime happens, where it sounds like if you would treat the instructions on how to build an item that has requirements of proof and background checking and whatever the case may be, it could avoid a criminal act by making sure that someone is legitimately getting it to it. And certainly for the companies who are distributing the information, too, they don't want to be held complicit in a case later on down the line that if someone does something criminal with through the information they supply, that they get hauled into the case against that individual.
Well, yeah, but let's take a look at this in a bit of broader sense, too. Automobile manufacturers, they actually manufacture a product, but they have not been held responsible, for example, when somebody steals one of their products and goes driving down maybe to rob a bank or to run over some poor citizen at a crosswalk. Maybe they get into a drunken driving crash. Where do you assign, I guess, blame in a situation like that? You know, as you said before, and I think you were right, we're talking about a gray area, and there is, really is a lot of gray here because this is all, it seems to me, new legal ground that's being plowed here. And, I'm not an attorney. I just write about this stuff, and I'm the senior editor here at the foundation for some of the publications. If I was an attorney, I might be able to sit down and have one of these, flannel shirt chats about, oh, yes, we have to protect this, and we got to do this, and then the lines are there. But I don't know. I'm anxious to see where the court really goes with this. It's you've got a piece of legislation in New Jersey. It's being challenged. And I think now we're all pretty much spectators to see where this goes. And, there may be some surprises in this for some people. I don't know. I'm certainly interested in writing about it.
Oh, sure, concerning what it entails. And to counter the case you made with the car, you can counter that by saying, well, what about the bartender who overserves someone who then goes out driving while intoxicated and kills themselves or kills someone? There's many cases we've seen where that bartender or that club owner is held liable.
Well, yeah, and I've seen that in the past where someone who is actually served way more than he ought to be goes out and gets in a wreck. I had some up close and personal early in my career with that because I used to shoot photographs of fatal accidents for the Washington State Patrol. And believe me, you don't get any closer than that when you're talking about that kind of an offense. But here again, you know, we're only talking about a publishing something, you know, about speech. And code, I guess, is speech. And from what I understand, I haven't read through all of the stuff that is actually available online, but a lot of it, in my understanding, is some kind of codes that are out there. Is that or is that not protected speech? We think it is.
There's another case, too, where the technology had maybe gotten ahead of the law, and the law has to play catch-up.
Well, you know, I think we've seen that throughout the history of the United States, where technology has really outpaced what we have been able to do with the law. You know, did the founders ever envision television or radio? I kind of don't think so. And they didn't even think about the web offset press, which did a lot for newspapers around the country. But, again, I'm not too sure that we need laws out there that regulate just every facet of our lives. You know, you talk about that to a libertarian, you'll probably get an interesting conversation.
But again, it's responsibility. I mean, you could write things that are slanderous and pay a price for it. I could say things that are slanderous, and you know, there's consequences that are created through a lack of responsibility. It seems like, again, is this one of those areas where we have to fit in that piece of the puzzle called responsibility to make sure something bad doesn't happen later?
Well, you know, we're going to find that out in the court, but maybe a question should be this: why would anybody consider holding everybody responsible for the acts that are done by somebody else over which they have no control? You know, we had all those lawsuits, remember, back in the 1990s when, I don't know, maybe a dozen, maybe 15 or 20 cities were trying to sue the firearms industry over crimes committed by people who shouldn't have had firearms. And they, I think, almost to the last case, the courts were coming down saying that you can't hold the manufacturers responsible for the acts of people over whom they have no control. And, you know, they were manufacturing a product, you know, in this case firearms, but all we're talking about here with this case in the New Jersey, we were just talking about speech and making that available for people to look at. And, I don't know. If I did know, I'd probably have the wise man's image. I'd be on all the talk shows. I'd have the answer to everything, and I don't have the answer to everything. That's why I think we're going to see how the courts come down on this and then go from there.
And expect to see this move through the courts starting in the toward the end of March, and maybe by this summer the state Supreme Court will get it and see what the result of it. It's going to be an interesting case, whether you are a embracer of the first, which I hope you are, as well as the Second Amendment, because could be filling in some of the blanks that technology has created. Learn more about the Second Amendment Foundation and follow on with this issue through their writings as well that Dave presents over at SAF.org. From the Second Amendment Foundation, we've been talking with Dave Workman. Dave, thanks for your insight on this rather interesting issue today. Thanks for being here.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Thanks for having me. It's going to be interesting to watch, and, you know, we all have a chance to do that.